This is Theology Refresh. I'm David Mathis on Desiring God's podcast for pastors and Christian leaders. And we are talking today with Desiring God's own Tony Ranke. Tony is the author of the book Lit, A Christian Guide to Reading Books. And while we typically have tackled doctrinal topics on this Theology Refresh, it is so important for Christian theology, Christian doctrine, for the gospel itself, that we be discerning and careful and intentional readers. So, Tony, thank you for joining us to talk about reading here.
My honor.
On the podcast. Tony, where did this book come from? How did it begin to be started in your own soul?
Yeah, there were really two different stages to the genesis of this book. The first one was I had a lot of questions about reading myself. I enjoy reading. I tend to read a number of books in a typical year. And I just had a lot of questions of why I read, what I read. Tried to come up with some objective standards for what types of books are going to feed my soul, what types of books are going to help me to grow in my discernment, what types of books are going to help me to enjoy the creation that God has given us. I just wanted different categories for my reading. I wanted to just think more intentionally about what I read, how I read, when I read. Those kinds of questions were really to the forefront of my mind. And so as I started to pursue these questions, I came up with a list of 20 individual questions that I wanted to have answered in my own mind. And that became a series of blog posts, which folks generously spread, and that led into the idea of the book initially, just as a way to walk through the questions that I had, to answer them in my own mind, and then to share the results of what I discovered in my research with others. The second thing too that happened is I just had a number of guys coming to me wanting to be discipled personally who struggled with reading. Mm-hmm. And so I saw there was really a big need to come alongside and to help young Christian men, especially, who find it difficult to read. And so this book is really a book written for folks who struggle with reading, which is a very odd way to go about writing a book. Mm-hmm. And so really, my greatest task was to, number one, write a book that a struggling reader would be able to get through, and second of all, to create a book that was so compelling for avid readers that they would take this book, find someone in their church who struggles with reading, and go to a coffee shop or go somewhere and help that person through this book. And so really creating a resource for the church, for parents and for pastors and for teachers and for brothers and sisters in the church to use with others who are struggling to become more effective and efficient readers.
There's amazing power in reading. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, when you read this letter, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, the gospel, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it now has been revealed to his holy prophets and apostles by the Holy Spirit. What power there is in reading for the gospel, for Christian theology, for life change. And in this book, you go several different directions with reading. You talk about how to mark your book up. Tell us mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah, I'm a strong proponent of folks writing in their books. It gives a sense of ownership of the book, that this is a book that exists to serve me. It's not a slave master that sort of, you know, beats me around and makes me intimidated and overwhelms my schedule. Books are tools that I can use or choose not to use in my own personal development. So I found just psychologically as I wrote in books, I mean, that was really the thing that really impressed itself upon me was how when I would write in a book, it would really become a tool for me to use in my own personal growth. And it sort of created this dynamic that I think is healthy for a reader to view books in such a way as a toolbox of things to be used for personal development, not as a stack of books that scream out, you know, you haven't read me all the way through, and, you know, I am your unfinished assignment, and you must get back to me and read me cover to cover. And so I think just psychologically it helps.
You also talk about fiction. Maybe a lot of pastors and leaders who are drawn to a podcast like this are more on the nonfiction side. What would you have to say to us more nonfiction-geared people as to the value of fiction in our reading?
Yeah, I've heard it from a number of different people who love classical literature, who listen to sermons and say, you know, for every sports analogy or for every entertainment analogy, there should be a classic literature analogy, because so many of the situations in life are played out in a novel. And so it is a tremendous resource, first of all, for pastors to use for sermon illustrations. But secondly, it's just a place to go to nurture one's own soul, to read novels by C.S. Lewis or by Marilynne Robinson. I mean, the richness of how novels can really deepen a pastor, it's incredible. And to see how many pastors have been main characters in classic novels, too, is pretty profound. But I think it's the Ryken family has helped me to see that. It's Phil Ryken and Leland Ryken. And if you just follow their works, I mean, they do a great job of helping pastors to see the incredible value of literature, especially classical literature, for pastoral ministry.
You mentioned C.S. Lewis and Marilynne Robinson, but you say in the book also that there's value in reading more broadly than just within the Christian faith. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there sure is. And I think being Reformed, we're part of a tradition that has appreciated a very broad scope of literature. So whether you go back to Augustine or Luther or Calvin or Basil of Caesarea or the Puritans, Richard Sibbes, Thomas Goodwin, John Owen, John Calvin would have to be in there too. These are guys who did not limit their reading to their own little stream of Reformed theology. They read very, very broadly. In fact, Martin Luther was in the process of translating Aesop's Fables, and he translated 14 of Aesop's Fables nearly at the same time that he was translating the New Testament into German. And he says, second to the Bible only, I commend Aesop's Fables for their moral training of children. And so it just shows you that there's an incredible value placed on literature, especially literature that will help with ethics, or you know, there's a number of different categories that it would fit into. But in this Reformed tradition, if you look at what our forefathers read, it was very broad. And so I'm just trying to highlight that and to say, you know, for us to be Reformed Christians today, we have this flexibility to view the world in such a way that we view it all through the lens of the gospel and through the lens of God's truth, which then gives us eyes to see the truth, the goodness, and the beauty in creation, and to also recognize the lies, the falsehood, the twistedness. The gospel allows us to see those things. It doesn't shrivel us. It doesn't limit us in what we read. It actually gives us eyes to appreciate what in the world does glorify and reflect God. And I think our forefathers in the Reformed tradition have modeled that.
A book that was very influential to me early on in the faith, and as I was thinking about leading others for the first time, was the book by J. Oswald Sanders called Spiritual Leadership. He's got a chapter on the leader and his reading, and one thing he commends there is that every leader should read at least 30 minutes a day. Do you have anything like that, in encouragement for leaders in regard to reading?
Yeah, I think my encouragement for pastors today would be to just be aware of what takes the time away that you could be investing in reading. And I mean, it could be different things for different people, but I think there needs to be a time in everyone's day, obviously for personal devotions, but also for reading. It could be in the morning, could be at night, could be, you know, sometime during the day, but some time carved out for the disciplined pursuit of reading. Harold Bloom calls reading a difficult pleasure. It is a difficult pleasure. It's hard work. It takes discipline to read. The passive entertainment, it doesn't require as much work as reading does. And so reading is a difficult pleasure, and it means that we have to be more devoted to the task, and we have to really carve out time in our day because it's very easy to lose that time. So I would definitely recommend that pastors read every day. I think that's a very legitimate standard. And I mean, to lead, you have to read. I think that's something that I've heard time and time again, and it's very true. It just builds a critical thinking component that pastors need to think clearly and to lead with effectiveness.
It's amazing that even though God's Word incarnate is ascended to His right hand, He has left us with a book, His Word inscriptured. And so Christians have been readers and will continue to be readers this side of eternity. Tony, thank you for the effort you put into this book and help I've gotten from it, and many who I know have gotten significant help as well. Again, the title is Lit! Exclamation point at the end, L-I-T! Exclamation point, A Christian Guide to Reading Books by Tony Ranke. Tony, would you close us in prayer for our listener?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is the greatest, most magnificent masterpiece that has ever been written or ever will be written. And I pray, Lord, that as you develop myself and David and those listening to this podcast, as you develop us into more effective readers, folks who are more diligent in our reading, I pray that you would use that skill, use that discipline so that we can unlock and see greater, more precious truths in your word about your Son and of your glory. And I pray ultimately that everything that we read would help us to unlock the rich treasure of your word. God, thank you for this podcast. Thank you for this time. And thank you for the amazing miracle that literacy is, that we can take words on a page and see behind those words eternal truths and things that we cannot see with our eyes. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.